one of the teachers that's very profound and important in my life, I'm going to talk about it in a few moments, said is that you will know that you are reaching higher levels of awareness when you find yourself to be more frequently in a state of cheerfulness and bliss. That the yogis, the highest functioning people, are living at a state of bliss almost all the time. They're giddy. They're goofy. They're happy. They're excited. They see the world in a way in which they don't allow themselves to go down. And the more frequently you find yourself in that cheerful state, the more you're moving into this higher level of awareness. And I'm going to define this higher level of awareness in a few moments. So on these two areas of our physical health, most of us operate, and most of the people that you see in your offices are operating somewhere between point A and B. It's very seldom, I would suggest, that you find someone walking into your office and saying, I feel great, but I'm not all that I can be. I want to be as healthy as it's possible for me to be. I want to feel terrific all the time. I want to have very high levels of energy all the time. My energy level is fine. I want to be in a state of grace physically. I want to be able to do all that I'm capable of doing. I'd like you to help me with that. So that's physical health and emotional health. Most of us want to get back to ordinary human awareness. Point B. We want to move from 10, 8, 6,000 cycles per second and see if I can move myself up to ordinary human awareness. And I'll be satisfied with that. Fully functioning people, the people that selected me to write about their ideas and how to apply it in Wisdom of the Ages, were all people that were operating at a very different level of consciousness. And so I'd like to just talk for a moment about this level of consciousness on a continuum from A to B to C that doesn't include the physical and doesn't include the emotional, but it includes something called consciousness. And we hear this term bantered about all the time. Point A on this thing called consciousness represents the lowest level of consciousness. This is called individual consciousness or ego consciousness. I wrote a book a few years ago called Your Sacred Self. And in Your Sacred Self, I suggested that there are really only two people living inside each and every one of us. And we all have these two people living inside of us. The first person that lives inside each and every one of us is called the ego. And this ego is really nothing you're going to ever get rid of through an egoectomy, all right? And you're not going to find it on any of your x-ray machines. This ego is just an idea. And it's an idea that we all have of who we are. And it's an idea that we've come to believe that who we are. And this idea says that who I am is what I have and what I do and what other people think of me. What I have, that is all of my stuff and how much it's worth and how it compares to everybody else's. What I do, that is what I accomplish, what I've achieved, and my reputation, what other people think of me. This is the ego. And the ego's basic idea is that who I am is separate from everybody else. That's what makes me who I am. I'm separate. And I am separate from not only everybody else, but I'm separate from God, and I'm separate from all that I would like to attract into my life. And there's a pie that's out there. And this pie has so many pieces to it. And if I don't get my piece of the pie, somebody else is going to get it for me. So I'm in competition with everybody that's out there. And it's a very competitive dog-eat-dog, I've got to get someplace, I've got to be better than, I got to be number one kind of mentality. This is ego consciousness, point A. And it's interesting, one of the more intriguing things that I learned when reading Carl Jung, he said that as adults, you know, we reach adulthood, and we think that once you reach adulthood that we're through with our development. But he said we go through these developmental stages, these developmental patterns, and when we reach adulthood, we continue to develop. Some do. And he said that there are archetypes, if you will. And he called these archetypes, he said the lowest archetype that we have as adults is called the archetype of the athlete. And this is the time in our adult life when our primary emphasis is on what we can do, on our body. How beautiful it is, how good it looks, how much hair it has. I used to actually use Brill cream and things, you know. That's gone. Those days are gone. And I used to think that who I was what I looked like. And then he said, if you get past the archetype of the athlete, you move into what he called the archetype of the warrior. And this is the stage where most people find themselves and where almost all disease takes place. The warrior is the time in our adult life when we take our physical bodies out into the world to do what warriors do. And what do warriors do? They compete, they fight, they conquer, they collect as much as they can. This is what we are as warriors. This is the time in our adult life when we set goals. This is the time in our adult life when we are looking at our own quotas. What's in it for me? How much can I get? Who can I defeat? Who I'm better than? You see them on television all the time. We're number one. No, we're number one in this kind of warrior mentality. And he said most people, particularly in the Western world, get stuck at this level of development. But he said there's a third and a fourth archetype. The third archetype is called the archetype of the statesman or the stateswoman. And this is the time finally in our adult life when we stop saying, what are my quotas and what's in it for me and what can I get? And we begin to say instead, what are your quotas? And how may I serve becomes much more of an important criteria than what am I going to get? And feeling connected to each other and to God and to what we would like to attract into our life, feeling connected to it rather than separate from it is the shift. There's a wonderful story when I was in Phoenix and I was on radio station KTAR there in the morning with Pat McMahon. And he was so excited and anticipating that Mother Teresa was coming to visit the studio. And she was going to be on the radio. And he's an Irish Catholic, and to have Mother Teresa in the same studio, it was just the highest point of his life. He was so excited. And when she came in, the night before, she had been sleeping at the homeless shelter that had been just dedicated there. And I don't know if you know this about Mother Teresa, but whenever she was away from her mission in Calcutta, she didn't eat. If she was away for 10 days, she didn't eat. She only drank water. And they would bring food to her wherever she was, if she was in Africa, or if she was in Albania, or if she was in Asia. And she would say, no, no, I just drink water when I'm away from the mission. And they said, but Mother Teresa, you're in your 80s. You can't just not eat for 10 days. Why would you do that? She said, because I have to know inside what the people that I serve are going through themselves. And this is the only way I know how to do it. I have to be able to experience it. And when she walked into the room, all of us knew that we were in the presence of a higher level of awareness. She was one of the people that selected me shortly after she died. In fact, the day that she died, I was speaking in Sydney, Australia. And someone came up and handed me a note just before I went on. It was 9 o'clock in the morning down there, but it was in the evening on the other side of the dateline. And I said, isn't that just like her? It was the day of Princess Diana's funeral, to try to sneak out when no one was noticing. The whole world's attention was focused over here, and that's when she died. The selfless, egoless woman. And when she walked into the room, all of us knew that we were in the presence of that kundalini that I spoke about earlier, that feeling of the shower inside of you, was in all of us. She's about 4'10", maybe weighed 80 pounds, if that. And Pat said to her, he said, Mother Teresa, is there anything that I can do for you? And this is someone who lived at the stateswoman consciousness or higher. And she said, no, Pat. She said, I'm just here to talk about the homeless shelter. And he said, Mother Teresa, he said, we have a very powerful radio station here, 50,000 watts. He said, we could generate an enormous amount of publicity for your mission in Calcutta and what you are doing. And she said, you know, I'm really not here for publicity. It doesn't interest me. But thank you. I just wanted to tell the people of Phoenix about your wonderful shelter where I slept last night and how it can help people who don't have a home. And he said, but Mother Teresa, he said, and he did what the ego always goes to. He said, we could raise a lot of money here today. And she said, I'm really not interested in money or even talking about it, but thank you very much. I just want to talk about the homeless shelter.